Well, good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. Let me ask you a question. When I say the word minor, what comes to mind? Normally, not something good or great. If I was to offer you one thing and then turn around to give you something minor in comparison, would you appreciate me? Probably not. When we say that the minor prophets are not minor in importance or significance, however, how often do you read them in comparison to the major prophets? What are we saying by our actions that our words do not? The minor prophets' combined message tells us how God views sin, what sin does to our relationship with Him, and what the benefits are to repentance and faithfulness. What part of this seems minor to you? The minor prophets are actually named Tre Asar, Aramaic meaning the 12. They were actually the 8th and final book in the Nevi'im, which is the second main division of the Jewish Tanakh. It was the man who divided them into 12 books we know today. The message is one of great importance to Christians today. And what they have to say is not so minor after all. You know, on Sunday evenings, it has been, except for maybe the last two or three Sundays, we've been looking at something in the Old Testament. Under the scripture of Romans 15 and verse 4, which we'll see towards the end of this lesson, and the fact where Paul says the things which were written before were written for our learning, that we through the comfort and scriptures of the may have hope. So the Old Testament, we know, was written for each one of us. Which means what? We have it for a reason. There's something to learn. But yet, why is it that these 12 books, the last 12 books of the Old Testament, we call minor prophets? I always find it interesting that when someone says, well, we're going to look at the minor prophets, they have to clarify that by saying minor doesn't mean they're less important. And the more and more I think about it, the more we have to clarify what we say, we probably shouldn't be calling it that in the first place. We're going to look at that here this morning as well. This lesson is not going to have a lot of scripture, and for that I apologize up front. This lesson is going to be a lot of facts of what the quote-unquote minor prophets are, what they were, and why they're important for us today. And then as we close, I'm going to give you some examples or some reasons, I should say, of why I believe we don't read them. And we're going to start tonight reading the book of Hosea. And over the next 12 to 14 weeks, we're going to look at each one of the 12. Each one of the 12 prophets. We're going to learn their message. And we're going to understand that how some 2,000, maybe even 3,000 years later, it still exists today. The same thing that they were fighting then, and their message is still as appropriate today as it was then. Let's begin by defining the word minor. As I said in the opening, minor means inferior in importance. That's what it means. When you say the word minor, you are saying that something is inferior in importance. It is inferior because of its size or its degree. Comparatively, it means unimportant. And yet, as I said, most people who say, well, these are the minor prophets and these are the major prophets, but we're not saying that the minor are less important, then why call them such? A tomato by any other name is still a tomato. Minor by any other name, doesn't matter how you say it, is minor. That's what we're saying, even though we admit that that's not what we mean. Minor means lesser in importance, seriousness, or significance. I think that has a lot to do with our feeling towards these 12 men. They're 12 books. We don't believe they're as significant as the major ones. Once again, as the proof test, how often do you read them compared to you read Isaiah? Or do you read Jeremiah? How often do you hear quotes from the Old Testament that doesn't come from one of these, but yet comes to the what we consider major prophets? Our actions sometimes speak a lot louder than our words. In academics, a minor is in a college or university is the student's declared second or secondary field of study. And the idea, it's not their primary, it's the secondary. Once again, when we call them the minor prophets, yes, you've heard preachers say, and I'm going to say it many times, we'll say, we don't think that they're inferior, but then we give them a title of inferior. It just doesn't make sense to me. Especially when you consider this phrase.
How many of you have ever heard this? We need to define biblical things in a biblical way.
How many of you heard that? Everyone in here has probably heard at least one or two lessons on it.
Well then, if this is true, which scripture ever calls these 12 prophets minor? I dare you to find one. It's not there. Not once does the scripture ever call any of these men minor, and yet we do.
Well then, we're not living by our creed, if you want to call it that.
If we're going to define biblical things in a biblical way, then these men aren't minor. There's none. There are zero scriptures you will find in the Bible, unless I've overlooked one, they call anything that these men did minor or less important. It's just not true. What they had to say is so important to us. Look, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Let me give you a good text to look at. Luke 24. Look in verse 27 and then also verse 44.
On the road of Emmaus, Jesus catches up with two disciples. They're discussing the things that have happened over the weekend, the things that have happened in Jerusalem. When Jesus catches up to them, he asks them a question in the verses about four or five above this. Why are you sad? And they look at Jesus and they said, are you the only one who doesn't know what's been going on? And they continue to tell him what's happened. And Jesus says in verse 25, O foolish ones, why are they foolish? Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What prophets did Jesus talk about there?
I suggest to you, and you'll see it here on the next slide, that he used a lot of what these minor prophets had to say when he was talking to these men.
It says Moses and all the prophets.
Look in verse 44. Jesus, once again, now has come to his disciples who are in the upper room. He appears to them and he says to them in verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. What prophets is he talking about? Just Isaiah?
No. You know how much Malachi has to say about the coming Christ? Hosea, which we're going to look at tonight, has to say about the coming Christ?
Zechariah has to say about the coming Christ? I submit to you that he talked to him about all the prophets. There was no division in Christ's time between major and minor. There were the prophets. And that's what they were called.
12 prophets. Aramaic, Tre-Asar, meaning the 12. Read this with me. Occasionally it's called the Book of the 12.
It is the eighth and last book of the Nevi'im, which is the second main division of the Jewish Tanakh, or what you would call the Jewish Bible.
The collection was broken up into form the 12 individual books in the Christian Old Testament.
Each one for each prophet, which we now know today. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when Jesus in Luke chapter 24, when he told his disciples, these are the things that were talked about in the prophets,
they weren't 12 individual minor books. They were one large volume. One large volume of all the prophets, the Nevi'im. All the prophets were written there.
All of them were in one book. And there was no division between major and minor. Only until man got his hands on it,
did we divide it up in what's called the Christian Old Testament, to where we now today see 12 books.
Now that was done for our use, but I don't believe it was done with the intent that we should then call some minor and some major. Because what are we really saying when we call them minor? If we have to clarify it, we probably shouldn't be calling it that. Let's continue on.
If we're going to continue to find biblical things in a biblical way, let me ask this question. What scripture ever puts credence on the length of a book?
Because that's the reason we'll see here in a minute of why men, good men, Christian men, say they're called minors. Because their books aren't very long. And so they're minor, and the books that are major, well, they're the longer books.
Well, I ask to answer that question. What scripture ever puts credence on the length of a book? says that if the book's not so many chapters or so many verses, then we can categorize it as a minor book.
The answer to that again is none. So if we're going to define things in a biblical way, should we not define them the way that the Bible does? They're called the 12. Not the minor 12, the 12. That was their name from the original. Why did we change it? Consider this. Did you know that 2 Thessalonians, Titus, and 2 Peter only have 3 chapters in the New Testament? But yet, how many of us would ever consider them minor books in the New Testament? Oh, we don't need them as much. Let's not read them as much. They don't have very much to say. Or Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. You know they only have 1 chapter? And out of those, did you know that 2 John is only 13 verses?